Subway has teamed up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for $5 to participating Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See store for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. The week three lines are out, as always. Our friend Cousin Sal is on the Subway Fresh Take hotline, and he's kicking my butt in our little picks contest. What's happening?
What's up, Bill? Yeah, I won the first 2 weeks. Turns out it means nothing because I can't pick the rest of these games when it comes down to deciding. But
well, the big thing for you is that if you beat me in our little Guess the Lines contest, you get to beat me with a Subway sub.
Right. My choice, whatever condiments. The problem is I may not have enough money to purchase the sub by then.
Now, I've gotten some emails from readers suggesting what kind of sub. Uh-huh. And the consensus seems to be that the two best ones would be either meatball or tuna fish.
Okay.
Tuna fish, just because it would be disgusting. And then meatball, probably because it would probably be the heaviest one and it would have sauce and maybe put cheese on it. I don't know.
I might mix the two, meatball and tuna. I'm going to find out what you're allergic to. We're going to have a real good time.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point. You could basically make the sub anything because you're not going to eat it. So you can do a meatball and tuna sub.
Exactly.
That would be disgusting. All right, so
I think we could fetch like $3 on pay-per-view for this. But
oh, no. Yeah, you're probably right. You probably might even be able to get $9.99. I mean, if the Mayweather fight could get $60.
Yeah, no kidding.
Holy mackerel. All right, let's talk about your trip to Dallas.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm going to start a movement to call the stadium the Death Star. I don't know if anyone else has done that. What do you think?
Death Star.
Death Star. Because it doesn't have a name. I don't like Jerry World.
Yeah. I know. It is spectacular, I will say.
So you walk in and what happens? Your jaw drops?
Yeah, it's just like everything's glass and new, and you could like eat off the escalator. Like everything, nothing's really touched before. So, and you know, the food's overpriced, but there's like a whole variety. There's all kinds of barbecue and macaroni, and you'll die eating there. But you're drawn to that screen right away. Like the second you walk in, like I said, everything's glass, so you could see actually into the stadium part, the seating, and it's just enormous. It's ridiculous. Like you have to, I don't know. Like I want to watch the field because I like to see how the play develops and who Tony Romo's going to throw his next pick to before it actually happens. So like I had to like lower the brim of my cap to block out the screen. Otherwise, you're just going to watch it the whole time. But it was really something else.
I didn't realize how big it was until NBC spent 3.5 hours talking about it, which you missed because you're at the game. But 7 stories. I mean,
gigantic.
The building that you still work at, that I once worked at on Jimmy Kimmel's show, was, I think, it's like 5.5 stories.
Right.
So this scoreboard is bigger than that building. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. Seven stories.
I know.
Can't get
and
over
the
that.
The odd thing is it's on a 5-second delay with the game.
What do you mean?
It's actually 5 seconds ahead of what goes on in the field. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how this Jerry Jones does it. He's really...
If you had taken like your son Archie there, would he have just watched the TV the whole time, right?
Yeah. He would have been annoyed SpongeBob wasn't on. But, yeah, he would have been... most of the fans were watching the TV because you could tell... and they replay everything, and they don't clutter it with graphics. So it's just the whole screen. And I think that they sometimes have the score on the bottom. Otherwise, that is the one knock I'll say against the stadium. It's tough to find because it's the only, it's the only display. You can't really tell how many timeouts. At least where I was at midfield, a couple levels up, you can't tell how many timeouts there are, or things like that. You can't really tell stats. So
maybe they'll fix that down the road. I wonder if they'll start using the stadium not just for football, but like for boxing and UFC pay-per-view, stuff like that. If the TV's that good, wouldn't people want to go and just watch it?
Yeah, it would be good. I think they'd have to guarantee like 50,000 in that stadium, though, because it's got to cost a ton just to open the doors and turn the lights on and everything.
So but, you went to the new Shea Stadium, whatever, that City Field.
Right,
City Field. And this just murdered City Field.
Oh, yeah, this blows it away. This blows it away. I don't know why. I was closer to Shea Stadium than I am Texas Stadium, being from New York. But it just it didn't feel like the Mets belong there. But this is just so colossal and grand. It's the Cowboys could play that forever.
Now, what if you just what if there was no TV? Would it still be an amazing stadium, or is the TV just really the main thing?
I think the TV is the main thing. It really is hard to. It's all about the TV, and they did this whole thing like the seven wonders of the world. Like Jerry Jones really had it tricked out, like on this board. Like,
yeah,
everything was so produced on it, you know, except for the blocked field goal at the end that they couldn't do. But and it's funny, we did pass the hat for the punt game. Like we put $20 in to start. I was with three other guys, and we.
Yeah.
$20 in, and every time there'd be a punt, someone would drop $5 in, and we'd keep passing it until it hit the board, and it didn't hit. But I do think it's going to be a problem when the pooch kicks from, like, the 40, when a team is punting from the opponent's 40, and that really the object of the game is going to be to hit it as high as you can and short as you can. I think it came within 5 feet. I don't know. You were watching at home. They may have replayed it a few times.
It came very close, and the punter actually looked upset that he didn't hit it.
Really?
I forget which team it was. That was the Giants punter, right?
Punter, I think, had the first crack of it.
Yeah, it looked like he went out there thinking, I'm going to hit this thing. I'm going to make history, and it just missed it.
Yeah.
Because you're right. That's when it's going to get hit will be the pooch punt scenario or the – you're at midfield just trying to kick it as high as you possibly can so there's no return. Somebody will definitely hit it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll tell you this much. I wrote this in Friday's column, and it was proven true. Every punt was exciting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, and the crowd is like,
Come on, hit it.
It should be a halftime event anyway if Jerry Jones wasn't so uptight about it.
Right.
Figure something out.
I got to say, you got to hand it to him because this is the first stadium since the Astrodome, the first basically indoor stadium that has really gotten people just talking nonstop, and everyone who went said it was awesome. I can't remember a stadium since the Astrodome that's made people feel that way.
It's got a lot of buzz, and he really turned it around. You know, like, you know, they hated Jerry Jones, and he fired Tom Landry, and, you know, obviously it helps that they've won Super Bowl since then, but... he's really come a lot around. The whole city has turned in his favor, and conversely against Tony Romo. So,
yeah, you want to talk about that? How are you feeling about that?
You know, I'm the biggest Romo supporter. I really am. You know it. I go crazy when people get on his case. But you know, not only will I say Eli Manning is better. This is tough for me. This is like Fonzie saying I was wrong. But I'm looking at like guys like Trent Edwards and Kyle Horton. I'm like, how do they do it? How do they not screw up as much as Tony Romo? It gets me sick inside. It really does. Like, he seems so. Is he not as talented as I think? Maybe I just overrated him from the start because he's just making unforced errors over and over and over.
I think he is talented, but there's something wrong with him when the bread needs to be buttered.
Yeah.
You know, he just, the bigger the game, the more it seems like he makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like he's fantastic at Tampa Bay in week one with, you know, this random game against a new coach. He just seems like he's one of those guys.
He chokes. I really do get sick about it. I think he needs to date like Lady Gaga or something. Go a whole new route, you know. You get this Jessica Simpson, she screwed him up. Go crazy. Be the crazy quarterback out there.
Well, it could be worse. Your son could have his middle name. His last name is his middle name. Oh, wait, that.
My cousin Jimmy keeps going. He's like, how many interceptions would Romo have to throw before you acknowledge that it was a bad idea? I'm like, it's already a bad idea. I understand. Now I have to make it a good idea. He's got to win a playoff game or something.
Or you have to root for another more successful Romo.
Yeah, right.
You could have named him Jack Staubach Iacono.
Right. That seemed too easy. Anyway.
Jack Aikman Iacono.
Right.
I'll tell you this, though.
It might be Jack Kitna soon. It really might be.
I'll tell you this. You have a lot of stake with Romo. Between your team and the family name, probably nobody rooting for him more than you.
I know.
To pull it out.
Man, the family's all over me. And, you know, I don't know if they showed it. Like, at the game, you could see, like, Roy Williams. He's, like, after just about every play, he's got his hands on his hips. He does that thing where, like, he'll stay where he ended up. Like, if Romo didn't throw to him, he'll stay where he was.
Uh-oh.
Like, at this point, everyone's back at the huddle, and Roy Williams will be, like, near the sidelines with his hands on his hip, like, hey, look, I was open. Meanwhile, it was, like, 20 seconds before, the play was over. And I think it might be getting in Romo's head, too.
That's not a good thing to do.
No, I know. He doesn't take it beyond that. It doesn't seem like he's going in the media and, bad-mouthing him, but you got to think some of these guys are down on him.
Well, week two in the books. I have been probably off to the greatest pick season I think I've ever had after 2 weeks.
You are. And it's manifested itself. I'm giving you the ball and you're going and with parlays and everything else.
Yeah, we've had some success. We took the Colts last night.
Yeah.
And even though Miami had the ball for like basically 3/4 of the game, Manning has reached that point now where you just feel like as long as he gets the ball with a chance to either tie or win the game in the last 5 minutes, it's going to happen.
And 5 minutes is way too much. Like, I don't know how they thought that could be a good idea. It's way, like, you know, he plays early Madden football where, you know, if you had 38 seconds left and you had the ball on the video game, you were going to win, you know.
Right.
That should be his standard.
Well, we were texting about it last night. I tweeted about it too. So 3rd and 6, 4 minutes left, and the Dolphins basically seemed like a fullback draw almost. It was just awful. I mean, I think it was to Ronnie Brown, but just a terrible call and predictable and safe, and it was like they were settling for the field goal. And I mean, I just feel like the team's goal at that point should be, let's hold the ball as long as we possibly can without Manning getting the ball back. You don't want to settle for anything. You just want to keep the ball and hopefully score a touchdown or a field goal, but not let him get on the field. It was terrible.
I think the Dolphins, their offense is fine throughout most of the game because they could work in the wildcat and it's going to take someone by surprise. But when they're killing clock or when they're in the 2-minute offense, they're lost with this wildcat. Like they don't know what to do. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah, it seems like more 3rd and 7 or higher. They're going to have some trouble.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is...
Pat Pennington and Ted Ginn, that's your answer.
Yeah. Hedge said that touchdown that Ted Ginn really should have caught. Hedge said he knocked it down like a defensive back, which is really true. It was an awful effort. They could have won the game in that play. I mean,
right.
But, yeah, I think that's it for the Dolphins.
I bet the under in that game. I didn't want to drag you in, but I was like, you know what? Every night game has gone over, and pretty easily, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Like both Monday night games, obviously the Giants, Cowboys. And I was like, it's got to go under. It's too easy to let the gambler take me over. And the first play of the game, Dallas Clark.
Right.
I think that should be inserted in that Alanis Morissette's NFL gambling version of Isn't It Ironic? You bet the under, and the first play of the game is a touchdown from scrimmage.
Dallas Clark looks like, because there's no Harrison this year, they have like that hodgepodge of second receiver guys. He looks like he's going to be a fantasy force this year.
Yeah, I know.
This might be the year
he kicked 3/10 of a second off of his 40 time somehow.
Yeah, he looks good. Hey, I wonder what the record is for tight end receiving yards or touchdowns or all that stuff, but it seems like he's on pace.
Well, we should ask Joe to spend the next 20 minutes looking at that.
Yeah. Oh, I want to apologize to Joe.
Why now?
Hey, Joe,
getting married last year?
No, I tweeted. I tweeted today about how Kevin Jonas is having a bachelor party, and I predicted it was going to be the worst bachelor party ever. I forgot about Joe Mead's bachelor party at the U.S. Open.
I think he can outdo me.
No, I really don't think so. I don't even think three Christian virgins can outdo the 2008
US
Open.
Maybe they'll call you in as a consultant.
Maybe they should. They should call Joe Meade, ask for some tips.
Definitely available for hire.
All right, let's talk about week three.
All right.
Let's do the lines.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready this week.
I'm 2-0. Let's start with Redskins at the Lions.
I like the Lions. I think this line's going to be high. I'm going to say Redskins by 6.5.
All right, you actually get that. I said 7. It's 6. But
all right.
I mean, until this team wins, which now it's been years since they've won, that line should open at 7. I don't care if it's on the road. Any decent team should give 7 to the Lions.
Well, the Redskins are awful. I'm probably going to write about this week just a little bit. There's this new form of NFL game where the team that's favored by 10 against a crap team at home, and they win, but they barely win, and the fans are just disgusted, even though the team's winning. There needs to be some sort of name for this. Because like that Redskins game almost felt like a loss on Sunday.
I know. It really did feel like they were outplayed. The Rams are awful, too. But I don't know. I know. I'm with you, too. I just don't know if these teams just get up for these games. They see on their schedule, like, they don't have to go through the tough, rugged NFC East, and they have an easy game against the Rams, and they just, like, take it easy the whole time.
I don't mind the Lions in that game as to possibly get the win, because I don't think the Redskins are very good.
Well, you know what? We did this last year, and I think it worked well. Like, a good bet is whoever's playing the Lions in the second half. Wasn't that how it was? Like the Lions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they just, you know, like Stafford likes to cash in on moral victories and then like keeping it close, and then it gets out of hand.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me is that they always get that weird Calvin Johnson play in the second half.
That's true.
You know, like that 50-yard, 60-yard, whatever. All right, what's the next one?
So you got that one. 49ers at Vikings.
This is a nice game. The 49ers might be good.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if the Vikings are that good because they had they played two terrible teams. You know, they beat the Browns, they beat the Lions. This is a nice test for them, I think.
I'm going to say something right now. This game will serve at the end of the year as a tiebreaker between the second and third seed in the NFC.
Oh, so you're handing the NFC West to the Niners.
Yeah, nah, screw it. I'm not going with that prediction. I do think the Niners win the NFC West, but they'll be 10-6. That won't be enough.
I think the Seneca Wallace Hasselbeck thing happening this early, I think, basically hands it over. Unless the Cards can... Yeah, they really kicked the crap out of Jacksonville last week, but I'm not sure if Jacksonville is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's hard to know if the Cards might have rebound or not. So this game's in Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Actually, it's their first home game, right? Brett Favre's first home game.
I think the line's going to skew a little bit high because I don't know if everybody fully trusts the Niners yet. I think the Vikes are getting a little too much attention. So I'm going to say Vikings by 7.5.
All right. I said 7, and it opened at 6.
Oh.
I think it might be up to 7 now. So.
All right.
Game 3, Titans at Jets.
Ooh. Yeah, I looked at this one. This is a tough one because I don't know if Vegas has bought into the Jets yet or not. What do you think? Oh, you don't tell me yet. And I don't think the Titans are that good, unfortunately, for them.
I don't know what it is with them. We were texting each other. Fisher was going berserk on the side. I've never seen him so animated. And they can't put together a win. They really should have won. They were up 2 touchdowns in that game.
I hate to say it because there's really no connection at all, and it's kind of morbid, but the Vince Young thing was like a bad omen for their season. I mean, not the Vince Young, the Steve McNair thing.
Steve McNair?
Yeah, to lose like the greatest quarterback in your franchise's history because to a murder-suicide like basically 2 months before the season. I don't know. It kind of put a cloud over it, I feel like.
Yeah. But maybe it has. They should use that excuse, anything they can at this point. They don't look that good.
Yeah, they really don't. Is this at the Jets or at the Titans?
It's at the Jets.
Oh, man, I like the Jets. Yeah, you know, you talked me out of them last week. We'll get to that. I'm very upset.
Well, I hit this exactly. Yeah, I did talk you out of it. I hit this exactly, and I think I'll give you that equivalent. So I think you can, too.
Jets 2.5.
Jets 3.
Oh!
Jets 3. Maybe they let down here. I mean, on paper, they haven't been playing like this, but on paper, this is the best defense the Jets have faced, right?
Well, the Texans would argue differently. They moved the ball wherever they wanted.
Maybe they dig in, the Titans. Giants at Bucks, game number four.
I have one more comment on the Texans, on the Titans. Yeah. So they get in that little sideline brawl with the Texans, and the announcers say, two AFC South rivals, no love lost here. I mean, is there really a lot of love lost between the Texans and the Titans? Is this a rivalry that goes way back centuries?
Was that your boy Gus Johnson doing that game?
It was.
Was it?
It was, yeah. No, he didn't say that, though. It was the guys doing the highlights on ESPN. One of the guys said that. No love lost here. It's like, I feel like there might be.
I think anytime you see a brawl, you could say there's no love lost there, because there's a good chance that there's even the slightest bit of history. Unless it's two brothers fighting in the backyard. Unless the Jonas Brothers start brawling at their bachelor party. Like, right. Oh, there's no love lost. Wait a minute. No, they do love each other. I think you can get away with it.
All right, what's next?
Giants at Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks are bad. They're not good.
This is easy teasy, I think.
Yeah, the Giants, as long as it's not windy out, I think you just take them every week, don't you? They're just good. Their receivers, all these young guys, they seem like they hit the mark with each guy.
Yeah, I hate them. I know.
It's really like it's 50-50 or maybe even 40-60 when you're drafting a receiver like late first round, second round, whatever. Like half these guys don't pan out.
And it looks I hate complimenting him, but Eli Manning makes these guys better. Yeah. I don't know how he does it, but
well, I'm going to say 7.5.
All right, we tie here because I said 6.5. It's 7 exactly.
That's a tease.
That's
tease. If the Bucks beat your tease this week, then God bless them.
Yeah. Jaguars at Texans.
I think the Jags are done. I'm going to write them off. I think we could write off like six teams at this point. This is definitely one of them. They're just not good.
Well, wait, who else? Wait, Jags, Texans, Colts. Two of those teams could be done already in that division. Jags and the Titans after this week.
Well, yeah, Titans.
That'd be weird.
If the Titans lose to the Jets, it's over. Because I don't. 0-3 teams don't make the playoffs. So, I kind of like the Titans this week because I just think that that game means so much more to them than it does to the Jets. Jets are all happy. They're 2-0. They just beat the Pats.
Right. I did, too. I like that game, too. And the Jets have to sort of let down a little bit, right? They can't keep playing with
right. I'm going to say
Texans.
I'm going to say this line skews a little high because the Texans looked good last week, and Texans by 7.
Oh, no. I got this one exact. It's 4.
Oh, no.
By 4.
Did anyone see last week?
I know. They just no flair at all in their offense, the Jaguars. Nothing.
They don't have a single receiver who can make a play. I totally disagree with that line.
Doesn't it seem like this happens, though? They start off slow, and then everyone loves Maurice Jones-Drew, and then he'll put together like two games where he'll have 5 or 6 touchdowns in total.
I don't know. That team, did you see their performance on the Antrel Roll kick return?
Yeah, I know. They gave
it was like they were jogging after him. Okay? He's cutting. He's weaving across the field. Anybody who was trying should have caught him, and nobody did.
That was
seems like they've
play.
Quit.
That was the Willie Mays back to the plate catch. And like, oh, my God, he caught it. And then the throw, too. He's going to run it back. I can't believe it.
You know, we talked about this last week with the Texans. And I said that it was hard to tell whether they were good or not because we weren't sure if the Jets' defense was good.
Uh-huh.
Now it seems like, all right, the Jets' defense is good, so maybe we just write off that week one game. Maybe the Texans are still decent.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true. I didn't look at it like that.
Because that Revis is incredible.
They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Their corners are – I mean, yeah, Revis covered Moss, right?
Revis, in back-to-back weeks, shut down Andre Johnson and Randy Moss. Single coverage. They didn't give him any help.
Yeah. They're good, and they're excited. Packers at Rams.
Oh. This could be the other part of the teaser. I'm going to say Packers by 7.5.
That's what I said. It's 6.5.
And there's our teaser.
Might have gone to 7 by then. But, yeah, I like it, too. I don't know about two road teams on the teaser, though, if we went with the Giants.
Packs, right? Wait, the Rams were...
The Rams have 7 points in 2 weeks, though, right?
Yeah, they're not good. Not a good team.
another team that's not good, your Patriots, hosting the Falcons.
I mean, they have a better team.
We got to bash Tony Romo for 20 minutes, and we didn't talk about your Patriots once.
Well, they can't block. They can't block, and they can't pressure the passer. It's a bad combination. I know what this line is. I think I'm going to nail it exactly, and I totally disagree with the line, but it's going to be Pats by 3.
Wow. All right, we tie because I went completely the other way. I said Patriots by 6, and it's 4.5. So we're each a point and a half off.
Totally disagree. Yeah, I was a Falcons naysayer, but that's a good team, and Gonzalez made them about 10% better. It's a having him in the inside the 20 is transforming them, I think, to another level.
But this is the shrug line you talk about, where Vegas shrugs their shoulders and said 4.5. We don't know what to do with this game.
So yeah, because because they're still banking on the fact that people are going to bet the Pats because they're the Pats and it's Brady and Belichick. But this is not the same team anymore. This is what I said last week. The defense isn't that good. Although they did look okay last week, but can't pressure. They're losing the battle on the line of scrimmage every game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good at all about this season.
Belichick is looking for more hours in the week to practice scheming. I don't know how he's going to do this.
I'm not saying the season's over, but I think that right now, at this point in time, it's not a very good football team. Maybe 10 weeks from now, it could be a good team. I mean, the J-Buck thinks it's like the Colts last year where they started off awful, it looks terrible, everybody gives up on them, and then somehow they make the playoffs.
Well, I think that is the key. Like, not only is teams not giving up on them, they're gunning for them. Like, I thought the Patriots were going to take teams by surprise. Like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
Remember us, and we're really going to make everyone pay for writing us off. But they are going to. It's like they're the Super Bowl champs, and everyone's playing their hardest against them.
I'll tell you one thing: if we don't come up with a better underdog pick, I'm taking the Falcons this week, and you're not talking me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Falcons are good.
Doesn't net you 2-1 just yet, but
Falcons are a top 5 or top 6 team in my opinion.
Well, I was looking the other way. I was thinking Pats Giants as our teaser. All right. Well, let's keep going. See what happens. Chiefs at Eagles.
Chiefs, you didn't see it, but one of the all-time shoot-yourself-in-the-foot games.
What happened there?
Just terrible coaching. Awful, awful coaching. Jason Whitlock wrote a good column about it in the Kansas City Star this week. One of the worst coaching jobs of the decade.
Yeah.
So Chiefs at who?
Eagles.
Oh, Kevin Cobb. I'm going to say Eagles by 7.
Yeah. I get this, but I screwed it up too. I said Eagles by 11, and it's 9.5.
Wow.
You're 2.5 off. I'm 1.5 off.
That's a lot of points to give with Kevin Cobb.
That is a lot of wood for Kevin Cobb. That's exactly what I had.
He basically made one nice throw, and then other than that, didn't really do anything against the Saints D. He threw for some yards, but I didn't think he was very good.
I won't be betting that. Has Andy Reid lost a little weight?
He gave the weight to Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan, yeah. I know he bulked up for Oktoberfest, but it really does seem like he lost weight.
He sold the weight.
Browns at Ravens.
Ooh.
You have a free week here if you're involved in a suicide pool and you still have the Ravens left.
Love the Ravens.
I think they're the best team in the AFC right now.
Yes.
You saw it earlier than I did.
Yeah, I saw it a week earlier. They were the linchpin.
That's my over pick, 8.5 wins. Over 8.5 wins for the Ravens is cake now.
They were the linchpin of our successful 3-team tees last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to say, who's the road team?
The Browns.
Yeah, 12.5.
We tie again because I had 13.5 and it's 13.
All right.
Well,
you're beating me again.
I've won or tied the last 8 here. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 8-5.
Jeez.
Getting that sandwich ready.
Meatball and tuna slapping against my back. It's going to suck.
Bears at Seahawks.
Oh, I get this one. This is a win. Bears by 3.
Yeah, I was terrible on this. It's Bears by 2.5. I thought Seahawks minus 1, and I even counted on Seneca Wallace being in there.
You know, the Bears really should be 0-2. It was a terrible loss by the Steelers. They should not have lost that game, and they really blew it and gave it away. And the Bears took it at the end but should not have won, if that makes sense.
Do you think, you brought this up during the week, like the Bears are going to be okay, but at least defensively they're okay. That was like the big question with Urlacher gone, and you and I agreed, like, kind of overrated. And everyone in the city is wearing the jersey. That doesn't help. But what's the most overrated jersey right now?
Oh, interesting. Probably Romo.
Oh, how dare I? Didn't
I just he walked into it.
I didn't even think of that.
It's got to be Romo. People, I mean, is he even a top 12 quarterback? Is he in the top third of the quarterbacks?
I was going to say Pierre Garçon, but whatever.
I'm not trying to hurt you.
Ocho Cinco, Favre, you know, it really is Romo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry. It's
all right.
But, you know, Damashek at our draft, as usual, like drinking beers, he's very loud. I happen to be sitting next to him for the fifth straight year. I don't know how it keeps happening. I can't hear out of my left ear. He's abrasive, just screaming at everybody. What? What's that?
You're going to get an email. Whatever you're about to say, you've even said too much already, buddy.
What's that? He's doing that routine. And then, like, you know, and his draft always falls apart in the last six rounds because he's drinking. Right. And second to last round, just throws out Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
Throws it out. Everyone laughs. He does the, what's that? And now the guy's the second receiver for the Colts.
I know.
It's unbelievable. I hate fantasy drafts.
Scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
The worst. Saints at Bills.
Oh. As I said, I'm just going to keep riding the Saints. It's the best offense in the league, and you need basically 35 points to beat them. I got to say, the Bills might... You know, might be up to that challenge. Their offense can move the ball. I'm going to say...
This, I think, is the sucker bet of the week. I do.
Sucker bet for the Saints or the Bills?
I think people are going to jump and already have jumped on the Saints because they scored 45 and 42, whatever. Yeah. They score in the mid-40s every week. But, well, guess the line first, and then we'll see.
I'm going to say Saints by 5.5.
All right, you got it. Because I said Saints by 7, but Vegas isn't giving them enough credit. It opened at Saints by 4, so you get it, but it's now gone to 6.
I wouldn't throw them in a tease.
Teaser game.
I wouldn't throw them in a tease because the Bills are one of the only crowds that actually can show up and affect the game. They did it last week. I don't totally trust the. I don't like going against the Bills crowd in a tease.
All right, guys.
I
need you to talk me out of taking the Bills here because I just think this is a sucker. The casual bettors are going to get killed in this game.
I think it's really not a bad underdog pick because they played in Philly last week.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of confidence, 2-0. I'm not sure their defense is that good. So in any given Sunday, they could lose. But I do like them.
Looked all right. He settled down. Oh, did they get Marshawn Lynch back this week, or is that one more?
One more. I'm not sure, you know, Fred Jackson was awesome last week. He's really good.
Dolphins and Chargers. This is the third late game, by the way, starting with the Bears.
I think the Chargers are just...
Now Dolphins-Chargers.
They're too banged up. I don't know when they start getting guys back, but the team I watched on Sunday was limited. They can't do anything inside the 20. The Ravens were just pounding them in the middle of the line because they had like a backup center and a backup guard. Like they were just killing them up the middle. And then Ray Lewis in the final play ends it up the middle. But and a must win for the Dolphins.
Well, for the Dolphins, I guess.
Chargers are 1-1. Dolphins season on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Chargers by 6.5.
Yeah, that's what I said, and it's 7. And
it's not a bad underdog pick.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing is Monday night and then team flying on the West Coast for Sunday game.
That stupid Wildcat. I think the one thing the Chargers have is the linebackers are solid. And I think they can contain that.
Like, you think this is one of those games where we all write off the Chargers and then they put up 45 points?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
they don't really lose 2 in a row at home, but we'll see. Steelers at Bengals.
I continue to like that Bengals defense.
You know, I like where we are week three. I'd hate to fast forward any football because you don't want to miss out on anything. But These teams, you need to learn more about these teams, right?
Yeah.
I look at it, Bengals should be 2-0, Steelers should be 2-0, but are the Bengals for real? I mean, I was way off on this line. What do you think?
Well, you know what's funny about the Bengals? The weak spot of the team and the biggest question mark is Carson Palmer. As crazy as that sounds, I think he's the shakiest piece on that team. Like they
well,
barely
he spent
won the
whole
game
offseason
with him.
Trying to be funny during Hard Knocks.
Maybe it distracted him. Who's the road team?
The Steelers.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, just out of respect, I think Steelers 3.5.
Yeah, you were way closer than I was. I said Steelers 7. That was dumb. It's Steelers 4.5.
Yeah, the Bengals. Wow, that's in the Vegas zone.
Yeah,
they don't know what to make of the Bengals.
I think we're tied 9-9, including all ties.
I got to say, with the Bengals, this is one of those tipping point games. Because if they win this game, I think they really could possibly sneak into the playoffs. You know, they'll
really?
Know if they're they'll know if they're a playoff team or not if they win this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game you should win. Home game against a banged up division rival. You should win this game.
Wow, I guess so. I don't see it. I think they get crushed.
You know who's pretty good is Mendenhall. I think we've seen the end of Fast Willie.
That's it, right?
Yeah, I think that might be it.
I think if Fast Willie could kick, then maybe he could he can get a roster spot. Jeff Reed, very difficult to kick at Hines or Soldier or anything that ends in field, really.
This whole decade, special teams has just haunted the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like really dating back to the 2001 AFC Championship game. What's that?
And the ref sets the ball at the wrong hash mark.
Yeah.
Of course bad things are going to happen.
Try luckiest kick return block ever. He's unbelievable.
Broncos at Raiders is the last late afternoon game. So with three games remaining, we're tied.
You believe in my Broncos yet?
Yeah, well... I don't want to say anything with the line here.
Okay. I'm going to say Broncos by 3.
All right. Here's what happened. You're right. I said Broncos by 5. I was wrong. It opened to Broncos by 2.5, and now the Raiders are favored by 1.
Oh! Holy mackerel. Nobody saw Jamarcus Russell last week, apparently.
Well, what goes on? How the Raiders are going to win 2 games in a row?
I don't understand
that. This
could
be another sucker bet. Well, who's not going to take Denver here?
I think the Broncos are good.
How are they underdog to the Raiders?
That's because people are excited about the Raiders because they're running the ball. They got their defenses making plays, but Russell is just awful.
Yeah,
he's an awful quarterback.
This analysis is going to be so much easier Week 5. Now it's like, yeah. Oh, well, the Raiders could be 2-0. The Broncos could be.
I love the Broncos.
I don't know what to think with this.
Take the Broncos.
All right, you have a game lead, Colts-Cardinals. Yeah. Colts at Cardinals, Sunday night.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Another night game for Peyton.
That's a nice game. You know, let's see. Colts are favored by 3 in Miami on Monday night. Cards are a tiny bit better. I'm going to say Colts by 2.5.
All right, I said Colts by 3. And you're going to win the week now because
it's
2.5. It opened as a pick, and now the cards are favored.
Wow. I disagree with that completely.
I know. Well, this is another team, the Cardinals, that you have no idea which way to go with.
I think we have a pretty good idea, though. I don't know if they're very good. I think they just whooped on one of the 3 worst teams in the league last week.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's an easy teaser. Colts plus 8 on a teaser? Let's put that with the Giants. You can't. That's a win, right?
How about this? Somebody tell me the last time Peyton Manning didn't come through in a night game. Just give me the stats on that. I'm going to say 90% of the time he comes through.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Seriously, you bet against Peyton Manning in a night game, you feel like a moron.
You're right.
Like last night, if you had the Dolphins. Well, if you had the Dolphins last night, you just would have felt stupid. He gets the ball with 4 minutes left. You knew you were going to lose.
Very cool. Yep. All right. And then Monday night, Panthers at Cowboys.
Oh, my God. This might be the most embattled quarterback game ever.
Well, yeah. One of them, it looks like one of them will emerge, but it sure doesn't have to work out that way.
This could be the first ever hug before the game, pre-game hug. I wish you the best, my friend. Oh, man. Well,
we can't even cover the crappy Steve Smith on the Giants. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, your quarterbacks are trouble. Romo got all the blame, but the quarterbacks deserve just as much in the safeties. I'm going to say Cowboys by 6.5.
All right. You win the week. You won it anyway before this. I said 6. It's 8. Cowboys by 8.
The Panthers.
Cowboys are going to beat the team by 8 points.
And just for the record, my big DeLome thing last week, Panthers, blah, blah, blah. Some readers are giving me crap that the Panthers didn't cover and all that stuff. But 28-20, first down from the 15 with like 4 minutes left, they're right in the game. I mean, it was a one-possession game. It was a one-possession game, and they almost tied it. I mean, that was not a bad pick.
Yeah, he should have been going crazy in the post-game press conference.
Who?
Told you so. I told you I can make us lose by less than a touchdown or whatever it was, 8 points.
Their real issue is not DeLome. Their issue is the fact that they don't have a second receiver or a tight end. And basically the Falcons were just quadruple teaming Steve Smith, daring him to throw to anybody else, and there's nobody else open. But
all right, what are we going to do for an upset? How much money do we have? I'll take the blame for that Panthers, nonetheless.
Well, we were up 2,200 after week one. Yeah, 2,200 after week one. We lost 500 last week in the Panthers.
All right, so we have
so 1,700
fake dollars.
What is the Falcons' money line?
Falcons' money line, it's not going to be 200, right? Because it's more.
It'll be like plus 180.
Let me see. I didn't have it pulled up. Falcons' money line is, you're right, plus 180.
I say we go 1,000 in the Falcons.
Wow. Wow.
Listen, it's my responsibility to give my readers, my listeners, the best possible picks, and that's the best possible pick this weekend.
The best possible pick is picking against the Patriots after a loss.
Listen, I'm not saying I feel good about it. I'm not saying it doesn't make me
feel
bad.
Well, you have to feel good about it.
No, I think the Falcons are better. I think they're the best pick. Is there a better pick? I mean, do you like the Panthers plus 8?
Well, here's what I was going to go with. I was going to go with, and I defer to you because you've been hotter than I have, but I was going to go with the Niners over the Vikings. I think they win that division. I think they're the fun team everyone looks to. Singletary's going to get the Gatorade poured on them. I think Favre craps a bet at home. I don't know.
Wait, what's the money line for that one?
The money line is plus 250.
Oh. That's tasty. The only thing is you're betting against Adrian Peterson, which I don't encourage ever.
Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore, possibly the two best running backs in football right now, if you don't count Mike Bell and Willis McGahee.
Well, one of the Williamses got hurt last week on Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't know
one
which
of the Williams
one.
Sisters. Well,
one
them
of the Williams,
Williams
sisters. Baby Doll has some interesting nicknames for them. Yeah, so if they're a little banged up, maybe Frank Gore could. I like the odds for that one more than the Falcons pick. I think you might have talked me into it again.
Well, why can't we take both?
Well, the plus 180 is not really that enticing, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
You know,
see, this is what you do. You go on record and say the Patriots are going to lose, but then you won't. Now you save yourself by not actually picking against them.
I remain on the record. I think they're going to lose. I'm just saying I think I like the odds for your Niners bet. I like that plus 250. And
well,
I agree with you.
All right.
Why don't you take the Niners? How about you take the Niners, I'll take the Pats.
The Falcons. I always thought we could do it. Okay.
All right. I'm going to put...
But this screws up our money total, but...
You're right. Well, why don't we put 500 on each?
Okay. Let's
I think
that.
You're off
for
on the money.
Account, we have
Joe Mead says we're off on the money.
I think
what?
After week one, you were up to 2,600.
Oh, yeah,
Niners,
he's right.
And then down 500, so you should have 2,100.
And you said 22?
You said 18 or 17 or something.
I think Joe's using our money for his bachelor party, our fake money.
We're up 2,100.
You're up 21.
All right. So let's put 500 on the Niners and 500 on the Falcons, and we'll try to hit one of them.
We're going to hit one of those.
The Falcons are good. They're legitimately good.
You'll root for the Falcons with me, right?
I picked the Jets last week, and I rooted for the Pats. It's not going to affect who I root for.
I know.
There's a science to it. You got to know when your team doesn't have it. I'm not saying they're I think by week 11 they're going to have it, but right now they don't have it.
All right, that's fair. That's
yeah.
Fair.
All right, Cousin
certainly
Sal.
Bash my team enough.
Anybody on Jimmy Kimmel Live this week we should be excited
about?
Yeah,
we have David Duchovny, Courtney Cox, Tommy Lasorda. We have the Feast of San Gennaro here in California, in L.A., and LeBron James is on Friday.
Really?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I my buddy Joe House is coming on Thursday. The biggest eater I know, even bigger than you.
Really?
And we're going to the Feast, and we got the all-you-can-eat $100 tickets, and he's going to put on a show the likes of which nobody has ever seen. I'm excited about it.
Oh, that's good. Oh, we should be gambling on something there. We should have our own booth.
Well, I mean, he's like not afraid of Zeppelis. He's not afraid. He doesn't care. He's just going to keep eating. It's almost like when a dog keeps eating until they throw up. That's what he's like. So it's going to be great.
You can't be afraid of Zeppelis. I try to teach my kids.
I'm so excited.
Even in the dark, you cannot be afraid of Zeppelis.
You know, we should promote for people in L.A., the Feast is right near Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's basically a whole block set up of Italian food and music and Italian ices and all kinds
great.
Of espressos and all kinds of great food booths, and there's weird celebrities walking around, like the guy Johnny Fontaine from The Godfather. He sings there inexplicably, and it's just
Tommy
a good time.
Lasorda will be there, like all world-renowned chefs. Chris Bianco, my cousin Jimmy's new boyfriend, will be there. it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, son, you can park on Hollywood and Highland and then walk right across the street.
Wait, Bianco's going to be there?
He'll be there, yeah, and he's on our show as well.
The most famous pizza chef in the country, the guy from Phoenix. Ah, this is going to be great. Yeah, I encourage everyone to go to the Feast.
Yep.
All right, Cousin Sal.
All right.
You 2-1.
Can check out, by the way, my crappy picks at JimmyKimmelLive.net starting Thursday. So.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you next week.
Very good, buddy.
Bye-bye. One last thing. We have a new application for iPhones. I recorded a promo for it. It's one of my first promos, I think, ever. Here it is. Hi, this is Bill Simmons here to tell you about the new ESPNRadio.com iPhone application available now for your iPhone or iTouch. You can listen to over 15 of your favorite ESPN radio stations from across the country, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, and Dallas. You can also listen to live college football games during the season, and you can get a new SportsCenter update every 20 minutes. Plus, you get access to over 30 of your favorite podcasts, including mine. That's right, the BS Report. The ESPNRadio.com iPhone application. Download it today.
So I get the sound off.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.